Yeah, a little bit of game show music. That means it's time for the Catholic Answers Game Show, which we call the Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. And as often happens on the very best episodes of the game show, our special guest is Carlo Broussard. Hello, Carlo.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thanks for coming in for the game show.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's been a while since I've been on the game show.
Well, we haven't. There's going to be a little discussion of why that is.
Okay.
We haven't. Our guests or our contestants today, we owe some apologies to. There's maybe been a couple times when we messed up and the game show didn't happen. So please don't take that personally, Carl.
I think I may have been responsible for one of those times.
I
messed up on the schedule or something, right?
I don't know about that. I remember that time, but anyways, we'll introduce our guests. But first of all, we want you to play along at home, and a great time to get a piece of paper, a pencil, gather the family around the kitchen table, and make sure you wake up Grandma and Grandpa, because it is time for the Catholic Answers Game Show, and you can keep score at home. All right, we have two contestants, and they are Alicia and Angel. We're going to start with Alicia. She is contestant number one. Which we use an elaborate system to decide who's contestant number one and number two. Who's ever on the phone first is contestant number one. Alicia, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, okay, I'm going to start with an apology to you. I don't know how many times, but there have been several times you were scheduled to be on the game show and then we canceled it. I'm sorry about that, Alicia.
No, it's all good. Excited to be here now.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And where are you and what's interesting about you?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, cool.
Catholic Answers Live was a huge part of my coming into the faith a few years ago.
Beautiful.
And we also have a baby on the way.
Oh, congratulations. That's a lot
Thank
of good
you.
Stuff. All right, so if you get a lot of answers wrong, though, that is going to really speak ill of Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, no.
Because we didn't teach you properly.
I'll blame it on the pregnancy, right?
Oh, that's a good... I've always liked that, how women can blame it on the pregnancy, whatever is happening. Our second guest I don't know why I keep saying that. Contestant number two is Angel. Angel, are you there with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me just tell you what happened. Alicia, what happened to Angel? He actually came into the studio one day to do the game show with us, and we had canceled it earlier in the week, and none of us called him to tell him that the game show was canceled.
That was not my fault. Not involved.
You had nothing to do with that, Carlo. Sorry about that, Angel.
Not a problem.
But I think the day that you came, we actually gave you some prizes just to be like, sorry, didn't you leave with some prizes?
Yes, it was actually a great benefit of being able to go there in person and be able to walk away with prizes.
There you
and
go.
Not actually have to be on the game show.
Yeah, well, today you're going to have to earn your
That's
prizes.
Right.
Angel, where are you and what's interesting about you?
Sure. So I'm currently in San Antonio, Texas, but I would say what's interesting about me is that 4 weeks ago, my family and I lived in San Diego, in North County, as a matter of fact, and we just recently made the trek over here to San Antonio. It's been an amazing blessing for our family, and we just live life one day at a time, enjoying all of God's blessings.
Praise awesome. God for that. That's a very strange thing. I've never heard of anyone doing that.
I'm glad he said leaving... 4 weeks ago, because I was thinking, man, did you fly all the way over here?
Yeah,
for
right.
The
no,
game
no, he
show?
Was saying, but have any of you guys ever heard of a person leaving California to go to Texas? I've never heard of that. This must be the first one. All right. Well, thank you both. I'm going to go over the game show rules right now for those playing at home with the family and for you, Alicia and Angel, and for Carlo, because he forgets them.
Indeed, I do.
There are three rounds in the game show. The last round is called Final Judgment. To make it to Final Judgment, you have to win the first two rounds. The person who makes it to Final Judgment will get 7 true or false questions, and I will go over the prizes for the final or for Final Judgment when you get there. The first two rounds, each contestant will be given 3 multiple choice questions. At the end of those two rounds, we will add up the scores, and whoever has the most points goes on, as I said, to Final Judgment. If it's a tie, we've got the tiebreaker right in front of us in these two boxes that the people on the internet can see. Because Alicia is contestant number one, she will pick box A or box B, and we'll read whatever it says in there, and that will tell us what to do for Alicia's Final Judgment. Are all of those rules clear to both of you?
Yes.
I thought there was something missing, Si.
Oh, there is something missing. Yeah, there are. You get afterlife lines in rounds one and two. There are no afterlife lines used or available in during your final judgment. It's like the real final judgment. And so you got to use them up before you get there. And they are this. Each question, multiple choice question, has three answers. If you're not quite sure, you can ask Carlo to eliminate one of the two wrong answers. That'll leave you a 50-50 choice. Okay? So once that's used, it's gone. The other one, you can ask Carlo just to give you the answer. And when that one's used up, it is gone. So you can use them in round one or round two, but once you've used it, you don't get it back. Everybody clear?
Yes.
Crystal.
All right. And that is all the rules, right?
I think Angel knows what's coming next.
Oh, I think. he came all the way into the studio for the game show. I think he knows how it's played. Yes. When Carlo gives you the correct answer, he has to do so in Latin.
Piggy Latin.
Pig Latin, that is. All right. So I think we are ready to begin.
We're going to see if my Latin studies over the past few months is going to help my
Pig Latin. I don't know if Latin studies helps Pig Latin. Okay, Alicia, you are contestant number one. By the way, if you get to the last question of round two and you haven't used your second lifeline, that is Carlo has to give you the answer in Pig Latin, I'm just going to force you to use it, okay? Both of you?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, here we go.
Sounds good.
Gather the family, get that pencil, get that piece of paper. Here we go with the Catholic Answers Game Show. Question number one.
Oh, one more instruction. Remember, you got to read the question twice.
I will read the question twice. Please allow me to do that before answering so that those playing at home get a chance to hear the question twice. Contestant number one, Alicia, your first question. By the way, I should have said this too. We have a whole bunch of John Paul questions in the first section because it's his feast day today. So happy feast day to Pope John Paul II.
Pray for us.
These are all a bunch of Pope John Paul II questions. Here's question one. Which of the following encyclicals was not written by Pope John Paul II? A, Pacem in Terris. B, Veritatis Splendor. Or C, Evangelium Vitae. Once again, which of the following encyclicals was not written by Pope John Paul II? A, Pacem in Terris, B, Veritatis Splendor, or C, Evangelium Vitae.
I'm going to say B.
That's unfortunate, Alicia. Yeah, Veritatis Splendor was written by Pope St. John Paul II in 1993. It was his encyclical on the Church's role in moral teachings and giving us sort of a theological and philosophical exposition of moral theology and philosophy, basically. Pacem in Terris, letter A, was the correct answer here. That was the encyclical not written by Pope St. John Paul II. That was written by John the 23rd in 1963 on the rights and obligations of individuals and of the state, as well as proper relations between states. And then, of course, Evangelium Vitae, that was Pope St. John Paul II's encyclical in 1995, The Gospel of Life.
Started you right off with one with a bunch of obscure Latin documents. You're welcome for that, Alicia.
No.
You're welcome for that.
Good try, Alicia.
All right. Contestant number two, Angel, here is your first question. Pope John Paul gave his teaching, now called The Theology of the Body, A, in an encyclical, B, at his weekly audiences, C, in a book called Fides et Ratio. Once again, the question is, Pope John Paul gave his teaching, now called The Theology of the Body, A, in an encyclical, B, at his weekly audiences, or C, in a book called Fides et Ratio.
I'm going to go with B.
Oh, that is correct. At his weekly audiences. Did you know that, or were you just guessing?
No, I did know that. I was starting to study theology of the body, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went between September 5th, 1979, to November 28th, 1984.
Yeah. Each Wednesday. And then nobody really even noticed that much until some people went back and read them and were
together,
like,
wait
a second, this is kind of good. I remember George Weigel said he got them all together and just read through them and tried to just write them out in like common language, what the Pope was saying in his kind of Pope language. And then he when he got it all together, he was like, this is good. And he published it as a book. All right, question number two. Alicia, here's your question number two. I'll read it twice. Pope John Paul was the first non-Italian pope. And by the way, I got to tell you, Carlo told me to get rid of this question because he said it's too obscure. But I'm sorry. I realized this is one you told me to get rid of, remember?
Yeah, I was just making sure that you actually kept it on purpose and that I didn't make a mistake in the notes.
Because I want an angel to win. But no, that's not why. I didn't know who was getting what. Pope John Paul II was the first non-Italian pope in 1,237 years. Well, excuse me, that's A, 1,237 years. B, 871 years. Or C, 455 years. Once again, Pope John Paul was the first non-Italian pope in A, 1,237 years. B, 871 years. C, 455 years.
Oh, my. Let's say B again.
Wait, you don't want to use your lifeline? That's what you, like, if you said, oh, my, that would make me think, oh, she's going to use a lifeline. But you don't want to use a lifeline?
Okay, yeah, I'll eliminate an answer. That would be great.
All right, we're going to eliminate an answer?
Yeah, eliminate one wrong answer.
All right, let's eliminate B, 871 years.
So, oh, good thing we did that. All right, so it's either he was the first non-Italian pope in like more than 1,000 years, 1,237, or 455 years.
I'll say 455
years. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Good job, Alicia. Whew.
Man.
That lifeline helped, huh?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, she said, oh my, and I'm like, well, that's a lifeline, right? All right.
That's an obscure question, Si.
I know.
Come
Carlo,
on,
Carlo
man.
Told me to get rid of that question, but I was like, it's John Paul. We're going to have a little fun. All right. So here's question number two, Angel. Pope John Paul got lots of criticism because he once kissed A, a copy of the Quran, B, Fidel Castro, C, a statue of the Buddha. Once again, Pope John Paul got lots of criticism because he once kissed A, a copy of the Quran, B, Fidel Castro, or C, a statue of the Buddha.
I am going to go with A, a copy of the Quran.
That is correct.
I'm glad it wasn't Fidel Castro.
And I don't think I have much comments to give on that one.
No. What can you say?
Moving right along.
What can you say? Here's a comment. He was Pope for 26 years.
There you go.
You're not going to get them all right. All right. I thought that one was going to be a little harder than it was, though. All right. Here's your... What's that? He got that one right. Oh, you need me to take a break. Yes. Darren's doing pantomime during the game show. It's got me all confused. We have to take a quick break. It's the game show. We are in our last question of round one for each of our contestants. Oh, no. We're going to question number two of round one for Angel. When we come back right after this on Gather Gansers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
I do listen, and I love EWTN. My mother loved EWTN. It's just a wonderful way, and I thank you for what you're doing, the courage that you have for telling us how it is with Jesus, God, Mary, all of it. We have to get back to something in this country, or we're doomed.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I should have said Catholic Answers Live. I should have said welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show.
I'm Cy Kellett,
your game show host. You got to get that in there.
So last time Darren messed up on the music. This time you messed up on the title.
Well, as we were just discussing with our contestants during the break, there's a common theme that runs through almost every episode of the game show, which is I have no idea where I am at any given time. Like, I'm always looking for somebody to tell me what question's next. And all right, but we are on question number three. I was right with my first impression. We're on question number three and of round one. This is your last question of round one. Okay, Alicia?
Sounds good.
All right. It's another Pope John Paul question. We're almost through the Pope John Paul questions, Alicia. Pope John Paul II attended A, the First Vatican Council, B, the Second Vatican Council, C, neither, because he lived in communist Poland. Once again, Pope John Paul II attended A, the First Vatican Council, B, the Second Vatican Council, or C, neither, because he lived in communist Poland.
B.
What'd she say? She said B?
Second Vatican Council. She got it right.
Oh.
She said B as in boy.
I just didn't hear it. And I was. So you said B, the Second Vatican Council. Congratulations.
No, I'm sorry. I said C as in cat. That was wrong.
Oh.
What honesty, man.
Wait.
What honesty?
Okay.
I think we got to give her beautiful. That for being honest.
Okay.
I heard B as in boy.
I'm giving you a book right now. Put this on the list of prizes. Just for honesty. You're getting an honesty book. And this is the book that was sitting next to me, so I'm giving it to you. Light from Darkness. 9 times the Catholic Church was in turmoil and came out stronger than before. The new book from Steve Weidenkopf. It is yours as an honesty bonus. An honesty bonus prize.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Now, aren't you ashamed of yourself, Angel, for even trying to win this now that we know that Alicia is virtually a saint?
I do have my head really low.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so your third question was, because the Second Vatican Council was the answer to that, name all the documents of the Second Vatican Council.
Wow.
All right, I changed that slightly to help Alicia out. But I'll go back to the original question. Sorry, that's not really your question. Last question of round one. Pope John Paul II was shot, A, on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, B, on the Feast of the Divine Mercy, C, on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Once again, Pope John Paul II was shot, A, on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, B, on the Feast of the Divine Mercy, C, on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul.
That would be A, on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima.
Wow.
You even pronounced Fatima right.
He did not hesitate at all. Good job, Angel.
Nicely done.
Indeed.
Amen. Nicely done. All right, so where are we? You're ahead by Angel is ahead by 2 after round 1 because the questions that we gave Alicia were horrible. And Carlo told me not to use them, but I used them. You guys ready for round 2?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right. Uh-huh. Oh man. All right, Alicia, I don't know how you got all these hard questions. Alicia, the souls in heaven, A, are given faith in proportion to how they lived. B, do not have faith. C, are given a superabundance of faith. You got to think about this one. It's a tricky one. Alicia, the souls in heaven, A, are given faith in proportion to how they lived. B, do not have faith. Or C, are given a superabundance of faith.
B.
Wait, I don't know what letter she said. Was that B?
Oh, bummer. Yeah, it's actually B as in boy, Alicia. They do not have faith in the beatific vision. You know, St. Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight, applying to our Christian walk with the Lord in this life. But we're told in sacred scripture, particularly St. John in 1 John 3:2, that when we come into the presence of the Lord, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So notice in this life, we're not walking by sight, but in the next life, when we get to heaven, we have sight. And that is to say, we will see God's
essence. It's a sort of an intellectual vision. Pope Benedict XII, in his Papal Bull Benedictus Deus in 1336, defined the beatific vision as this intuitive vision without the mediation of any creature, sort of a direct intellectual knowledge in union with God's divine essence. And also, too, St. Thomas Aquinas likes to quote 1 Corinthians 13:12. He liked to quote that in past tense, right? "We now see in a glass darkly," St. Paul says, "but then face to face." So now it's dark, this knowledge of faith. We're trusting, like we're making that act of faith. But then in the beatific vision, we're going to see God face to face. So it's a direct vision and no longer having to walk by faith.
I like it.
Yeah, so faith is only for this life to lead us to that that vision. So faith, hope, and charity, right?
Yeah.
Faith is assenting to that which is not seen.
Yeah.
But in the beatific vision, we see, so no more faith. Hope is looking forward to the promises to be fulfilled, trusting in the promises. When we get in the beatific vision, the promise is fulfilled. We attained our ultimate goal, so no longer any hope. However, charity, the greatest of all of these, as St. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 13, remains and is actually perfected.
So it's just love.
Just love.
All right. Where am I now? Oh, the first question of round two for you, Angel. And Angel, I am going to just suggest to you that you don't have to take my suggestion that you use your second lifeline on this one. The
Sounds
communion. This is a good one because we're coming up on All Saints and All Souls Days. And so here's a communion of saints question for you. The communion of saints refers to A, the canonized saints who can be honored at Mass. B, all of the saints in heaven, whether they have been canonized or not. Or C, all of those who have been made children of God by Christ, whether in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory. Once again, the communion of saints refers to A, the canonized saints who can be honored at Mass. B, all of the saints in heaven, whether they have been canonized or not. Or C, all of those who have been made children of God by Christ, whether in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory.
I would like to use my lifeline.
Oh, which one would you like to use?
I would like to use the one with Pig Latin.
Carlo, please give him the correct answer.
All right, here we go. Got to get revved up here. All right, here we go. Lae, foe, hoste, hoe, have he, imbe, ademe, hil trinche, foe, adge, yibe, Risque.
I don't know if I can weather way.
Nie, Evan hay, Noe, Earth a, Roe, Nie, Ergatori pay.
Hey, listen, I
did it, man.
I know, but I don't think your mic was all the way up. Do you want him to do it again for you? All right, which was it, A, B, or C? See, the communion of saints refers to all of those who have been made children of God by Christ, whether in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory. Alicia, your second question, of the second round.
Darren forgot the noise. Ding!
Oh,
there you go.
Okay, so it's official. You got that
one. Good job, Angel.
Alicia, the Apostle Paul was A, a Sadducee, B, a temple priest, or C, a Pharisee. Alicia, once again, the Apostle Paul was A, a Sadducee, B, a temple priest, or C, a Pharisee.
I'm going to say he was a Pharisee.
Yes! Good job, Alicia.
No, but she doesn't get credit because she didn't say the letter. You have to say C, a Pharisee. We're not giving her that.
She was confusing us with the letters for the past few
questions. Yeah, right, we couldn't make out what letter she was saying.
Just say the answer.
Yeah, so she's, all right, Pharisee. Was he really? Paul was a Pharisee? I thought the Pharisees were bad.
He says that in Philippians 3, 4 through 6. He says, if any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. So as a Jew, he was a Pharisee, and he was trained within the Pharisaical school and traditions. So he was not sad, you see. I know we've heard that over and over again because he believed in the bodily resurrection at the end of time as a Jew.
All right. Nicely done, Alicia. Let's go to question number two for Angel. Angel, your second question. Which of the following is true about St. Paul? Which of the following is true about St. Paul? A, he was a powerful healer, so much so that people could heal the sick just using objects that had touched Paul. B, he was a preacher, but unlike the other apostles, he had no healing ministry. Or C, he taught that only the sacraments could heal. Which of the following was true about Paul? A, he was a powerful healer, so much so that people could heal the sick just using objects that had touched Paul. B, he was a preacher, but unlike the other apostles, he had no healing ministry. Or C, he taught that only the sacraments could heal.
I'd like to use my other lifeline if I could.
All right, that's a 50-50.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to eliminate B as in boy. He was a preacher, but unlike the other apostles, he had no healing ministry.
So you want me to read the two that are left?
Yes, please.
All right. A, he was a powerful healer, so much so that people could heal the sick just using objects that had touched Paul. Or C, we got to go to a break?
Don't look it up, Angel!
Or C, he taught that only the sacraments could heal. Go ahead.
A.
Yeah!
All right, we'll find out whether... I guess we won't find out whether that was right or wrong. We already know. That was right. We'll be right back.
Sorry.
But more of the Catholic Answers Game Show with the ever-excitable Carlo Broussard right after this.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
It's very hard not to, I think this is the technical term, boogie down when that music is playing. It's very hard not to boogie down.
Are you an old man?
Yeah. No, I can still boogie down. All right. I want to go back to that question because we got it right in before the break, and I know that there's probably something you want to say about it. Which of the following is true about St. Paul? And it turned out the answer was he was a powerful healer, so much so that people could heal the sick just using objects that had touched Paul.
Yeah, that actually comes from Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 12, where Luke records, God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. So we have a biblical evidence there of a second-class relic, right?
Yeah.
Right. God using the handkerchiefs or aprons of Paul to drive out demons and heal sick people.
Yeah.
So the Catholic practice of venerating relics is not that
weird.
Odd of a thing.
No.
Right, but back there in the first century.
But you were saying at the break that he also healed someone who died.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact chapter. I should have looked it up during the break. But it's in the book of Acts where Luke's telling us how Paul is preaching into the night. And like there was this young guy sitting in the window, he fell asleep, fell out the window, died. Paul goes down, resurrects him, then goes back and keeps on preaching, man.
But doesn't that make you feel good that here is an apostle of Jesus Christ and somebody fell asleep during his preaching? Because that doesn't that make you feel better as a speaker?
Like, indeed. Because yes, every now and then you look out there
and it's not exactly, the crowd is not exactly enthused. And Paul killed someone. He was so boring.
Yeah, sure did. He sure did. Yeah, I will keep that one inside my back pocket, brother.
All right, yeah, yeah. That'll make you feel better sometime.
Indeed.
All right, here's the last question of round two for Alicia. Alicia, I'm going to read it twice to you. The title Theotokos, or God-bearer, was used to describe Mary, A, by only one of the early church fathers, B, by none of the church fathers, it was a later development, or C, by many of the early church fathers. Does she, has Alicia used her Pig Latin one yet?
I would love to use my Pig Latin.
Yeah, yeah. I got to read it one more time, and then we'll get to the correct answer in Pig Latin. Yes, by law, you have to use it. So thank you, Alicia. The title Theotokos, or God-bearer, was used to describe Mary, A, by only one of the early church fathers, B, by none of the church fathers, it's a later development, or C, by many early church fathers. Carla, can you give us the correct answer in Igpe Atinle?
All right, so first word of all three of them is by, so I can get by on by. Pun intended. Oh, yeah, baby. All right, so here we go. By enime phoe hate erlie churche a father's fe.
A father's fe. Oh, that is good Pig Latin. A father's fe.
Wait, wait, no, not a father's fe. Author's fe. There
Authors,
we go.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Author's fe. All right. Did any of that make any sense to you, Alicia? Because I'll just say it in English if there was any problem.
Many of the church fathers.
Yes. Good job, Alicia.
Did she get her sound effect?
She did.
She did?
I was overriding it because I got excited.
Okay. All right, because we do not want anyone leaving without getting their sound effect. Okay, so this is your last question of round two, Angel. The bishops of the Orthodox churches are A, not successors of the apostles as Catholic bishops are, B, are successors of the apostles, or C, are successors, I cannot read this, I'm so sorry. I got to put my glasses on. Are successors only of St. Paul, but not of St. Peter? I'm going to read that again because that was horrible. The bishops of the Orthodox churches are A, not successors of the apostles, as Catholic bishops are, B, successors of the apostles, or C, successors only of St. Paul, but not of St. Peter.
I'm going to say B.
Good job. Paragraph 1399 in the Catechism. The Eastern churches are not in full communion with the Catholic Church, celebrate the Eucharist with great love. These churches, although separated from us, yet possess true sacraments, above all, by apostolic succession, the priesthood, and the Eucharist, whereby they are still joined to us in closest intimacy. So, good job, Angel.
Great job, both of you. We are through rounds one and two.
Yes,
so now we have to ask the supercomputer to add up the scores. And while the supercomputer is adding up the scores, I will just say that was very fine rounds. And Alicia, I gave you terrible questions. Carlo told me not to, but I gave you terrible questions. So has the supercomputer added them up? Yeah, Darren says yes. He's pretending along with me that we have a supercomputer. Thank you, Darren, for playing along. The problem here is that Angel didn't get any wrong. He got 100%. And Alicia, that means that you will not be going on to your final judgment. So congratulations that you can live another day and have that baby of yours. But we're going to give you some great prizes because you, not only were you a great contestant and a lot of fun to talk with, But we kept canceling on you before. So we've already given you, because of your saintly honesty, like you could have actually had another correct answer, but you didn't, because you told us the truth. Light from Darkness, Nine Times the Catholic Church Was in Turmoil and Came Out Stronger Than Before. That's the new book from Steve Weidenkopf for your honesty. We're also going to give you Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines from Tim Staples.
And that's fitting, because one of her questions was regarding the Theotokos and Mary.
Exactly.
And she got it right.
Also, just because he's so great, and we want you to have the full Carlo Broussard collection, we'll give you all of Carlo Broussard's books, which he will now name. Name them, Carlo. See if you can name all of your books.
Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church.
One.
Meeting the Protestant Challenge. How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs, and Purgatory is for Real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet.
Nope, you were supposed to give those in Pig Latin, so you get no credit for that. But Alicia, you're going to get those four books, the one from Steve Weidenkopf, the one from Tim Staples, and the three from Carlo.
Thank you.
Awesome, Alicia. Thank you so much.
It was great getting to talk with you. And when does the baby due?
March 8th.
Wow, March 8th. Awesome. God bless you. That's great. You're going to have a fun summer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just great. All right. Well, thank you very much, Alicia. And now we are stuck with Angel. Angel? I said that probably the wrong way. That's probably the wrong way. Do you feel like you're ready to face your final judgment?
I am as ready as possible.
All right. That's good. I hope.
I got to say is if Angel gets less than five questions right, you best be sure to give him at least five books.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like Alicia.
Because Alicia got five books. Well, but although... No, she only got four books, because the fifth one was because of her saintly honesty.
Okay, and so Angel did get his books when he came here.
Oh, so. That's right. Angel's already got a bunch of books. As a matter of fact, goodbye, Angel. You're not even...
shipping.
What's that?
You don't have to worry about shipping.
Oh, yeah, we saved on shipping, yeah, because you had to bring them with you. All right, so we're about to go to the final round or final judgment. This is your final judgment, and the final judgment works this way. One, you have no afterlife lines. You just got to answer these questions yourself. Each question is a true or false question. If you get it correct, you get the prize that it comes with, which I will tell you before I ask you each question. If you get all seven correct, you get a bonus, which I believe the bonus is a free course in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, which everyone on earth is talking about, the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, as we've been wanting it for more than 20 years here at Catholic Answers, and it has exceeded all expectations. People from countries all around the world have taken apologetics courses, and Carlo's got a new one coming out about...
Yeah, it was just last week or 2 weeks ago, can't remember, I'm lost. I was in the studio filming for a course on the saints and defending the intercession of the saints. So I'm looking forward to that coming out. I don't know when that will be released, but it's in production. So praise God for that.
All right. So I have to read a little something that I have failed to read thus far, and it's very important. And then we will get to your final judgment. I wonder if they're going to do an ad before my final judgment. Wouldn't that be awful? You stand before the Lord, they're like, hang on, Zai, we got to do a quick ad, and then we'll get to your final judgment. It's Black Cat Friday. What does that mean? It means that for 12 hours, all of our 20 Answers books and ebooks are $1 each. 47 titles in all with ebooks included. That's 94 chances to save 75% on these great books and ebooks. But act quickly. These sale prices disappear at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's a little more than an hour away. Go now and save. Black Cat Friday going on now at shop.catholic.com.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What have you always wanted to know about the Vatican? Well, I'm your Vatican insider, and I answer that question when I bring you the news about the Pope, Vatican City, and much more. I answer your wonderful questions about the Church. I share insights and stories told by my amazing guests from a broad spectrum of church ministries.
Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm your game show host, Cy Kellett. Our guest, Carla Broussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers. It's almost November, so you probably should mention just one more time what you're doing in November, because I think it's great. You and you've teamed up with the St. Philip Institute down in Texas, and tell
That's
them
right.
what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, so for every Monday in November, I'm going to be giving a webinar in collaboration with the St. Philip Institute out of Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Ran by Stacy Trusenko. So she and her team will be hosting the webinar. I will be giving the talks. And after each of the talks for each of the Mondays, we're going to have some Q&A. And basically, the title of the webinar is Family Night Apologetics. The idea is to, as you say, Cy, gather up the family, right? Mom right. and dad and grandma and grandpa.
Yep.
And all the kids. And it's going to be each of the nights will be nights of apologetics, where we're going to do a Catholic introduction to Catholic apologetics, explaining what apologetics is, the various kinds of apologetics, the various people we're engaging with, tips for defending the faith, as well as samples of the various kinds of apologetics. So what do we say when we're talking to atheists or agnostics, when they might say science disproves God, maybe? Or what do we say to someone who doesn't think objective truth exists, that everything's relative, right, concerning truth? We're also going to look at how to respond to skeptics who doubt the historical reliability of the Gospels, the divinity of Jesus, his resurrection, as well as those Catholic distinctives. When our Protestant brothers and sisters ask that age-old question, where's that in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And challenging us on certain Catholic beliefs and relative to certain passages in the Bible. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Once again, every Monday in November, 5 Mondays, and they can go to stphilipinstitute.org/events, click on the Family Night Apologetics with Carlo Broussard, and they can register online.
stphilipinstitute.org?
Yes.
Slash?
Events.
Events. All right. You ready for your final judgment? Angel, that's you. I didn't mean Carlo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, Angel. All right, here's
he
how it
is
works.
He is the angel of judgment.
I'm going to give you a true-false question. If you get it right, you get the prize, and we'll do 7 of those. If you get all 7 of them right, you get a bonus prize, which is a free course in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. I think in your case, we might just have you teach a free course in the Catholic Answers because you're doing so well. All right, you ready? True or false?
Let's go.
All right. True or false, Angel? The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Holy Spirit. Once again, true or false? The Holy Spirit is not the Father, the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit.
That is true.
Good job, Angel. Yeah, the Catechism puts it exactly like that, Cy, in paragraph 254. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are not simply names designating modalities of the divine being, for they are really distinct from one another. He is not the Father who is the Son. Nor is the Son he who is the Father, nor is the Holy Spirit he who is the Father or the Son, drawing the real distinction, articulating the real distinction between each of the three persons. They are one and identical in reality, in being, in substance. They're all three identical to what we call the divine essence or the divine nature, the divine being, but they are distinct, really, in relation to each other.
And by the way, you were playing for Purgatory is for Real on that one. I forgot to mention, as I always do, I forgot to mention the book before you went. So congratulations, you just won Purgatory is for Real. Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet by Carlo Broussard. You're playing for Light and Darkness. 9 times the Catholic Church was in turmoil and came out stronger than before. The new book by Steve Weidenkopf. I got a chance to read it, and it's great. It is a very fine book. So I hope you win it. Here's your true or false question. Oh, by the way, it's about a controversy because the book is about controversies. True or false, Angel, the investiture controversy involved Greek patriarchs refusing to allow the Pope to appoint bishops. Once again, true or false, Angel, the investiture controversy involved Greek patriarchs refusing to allow the Pope to appoint bishops.
True.
Oh, that's a difficult
one. It was a tricky one. I'm sorry about that.
Unless you know what that controversy is
about. I should have given
that
one to Alicia. She was getting all the...
Oh, that would have been terrible.
Yeah, well... Because that was tricky, and I gave her all the bad questions. Well, I don't know how that happened. I still feel bad about that.
Too bad, Angel, because the book that Cy was offering you actually deals with this controversy in chapter 4. Maybe you could offer it on the next one, right?
But so rather than I'd learn about it.
Rather than the controversy involving the Pope and Greek patriarchs, it was the Pope and the state in medieval Europe in the 11th century over who has the authority to appoint bishops and abbots of monasteries. And so that was the nature of the controversy.
Yep, all those German princes. Light and Darkness is a fantastic book. And
Light
now,
from Darkness.
Light from Darkness, excuse me. Fantastic book, and you are not getting it. Let's go to number three. Wait, what was I giving away? Oh, Jimmy Akin's book, Daily Defense. Do you have that one yet?
Well, actually, Cy, you gave it to me last time I was there.
Okay, so you're playing for Light and Darkness again. Because I wasn't sure if we gave you Jimmy Akin's book. So Light in Darkness. You can play for it again. True or false? During the Roman persecutions, those who caved in to Roman pressure, we might call them the lapsi, mm-hmm. were never allowed back into communion. Once again, during the Roman persecutions, those who caved to Roman pressure were never allowed back into communion.
False.
Very good. Excellent, Angel. Yeah, so there were some who were arguing that they should not be allowed back into communion, both during the persecution of Decius, at the time the Roman priest Novatian, later came to be known as Novatianism, as well as in the persecution of Diocletian, which took the form of Donatism, as saying that those of the lapsi who have caved into the persecution should not be allowed back into communion. But during the persecution of Decius, St. Cyprian of Carthage was one who championed the idea that they should be allowed back into communion after long periods of penance. And then during the persecution of Diocletian, and the synods of the 4th century had some canons to reject that idea that the Donatists were proposing.
All right, I got to get moving because I feel like I'm risking not getting all seven questions in. So true or false? Oh, this time we are playing for Things the Saints Never Said, a book from our colleague Trent Horn, Things the Saints Never Said. We have to give them away because no one will buy them. True or false, Jesus chose...
That's admitted by Trent, by the way.
Jesus chose only Jewish men for his apostles. True or false, Angel? Jesus chose only Jewish men for his apostles.
True.
Great job.
Wow.
Ain't got much to say about that one.
All right. Nope.
All 12 men. Yep. All Jews.
Yep. Even St. Luke. No, just kidding. St. Luke wasn't an apostle.
That is correct.
But was St. Luke Jewish, or we just don't know whether he was Jewish? Like
Well, it's my understanding he was a Gentile.
He was a Gentile. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go do the next one. I'm going to have you play for a brand new book, a book that I'm very, very excited about. I don't even think it's out yet. You'll probably be the first person who gets it. It's called Revolt Against Reality. It's coming out either if it's not out now, it's out soon. It's from our good friend, Gary Machuda, who is just a superstar. Gary is great. And one of my favorite people in the apologetics world. And Revolt Against Reality, that's a perfect book for our age. So I'm just super happy that this book's coming out. I'm glad you're going to get it if you get this right. True or false, Jesus had the beatific vision even when he was in Mary's womb. True or false, Angel, Jesus had the beatific vision even when he was in Mary's womb.
True.
Dang, no pause on that.
Good job. To save time, I'm just going to direct all of our listeners, Cy, to Tim Staples' article, Did Jesus Christ Have the Beatific Vision from the Moment of His Conception? At his website, timstaples.com. And he documents all of the magisterial references, scripture quotes, reasoning from St. Thomas Aquinas, etc. So Great article.
And it's very good news because it means that we can all be saved,
Amen.
By the way.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's go to number six and say a book, Darren. What should he be playing for now? Because early church was the Catholic Church. Darren says it. You don't have that one, right? Early church was the Catholic Church?
I do not.
All right. True or false? Detraction is the sin of lying to hurt the reputation of another. True or false? Detraction is the sin of lying to hurt the reputation of another.
True.
Oh, that's a tricky one, brother.
That's, I was afraid of that one.
Yeah, that's calumny. So calumny is remarks contrary to the truth, as the Catechism defines in paragraph 2477, which harms the reputation of others, gives occasion for false judgments concerning them. Detraction, the Catechism defines as, without objectively valid reason, discloses another's faults and failings to persons who did not know them. So the faults and the failings are true, but one is disclosing them to others without a valid reason. That's detraction. Calumny involves the lie.
It's the only sin against the truth in which the person tells the truth. Because it's a sin against the truth because it's a truth you shouldn't have
told.
Oh,
right, right, yeah. That's
so it's a violation of the proper use of the faculty of communication. But it's one in which you actually tell the truth.
Yeah.
Which I always like to remind people that's a sin, because if you don't know that, then you go, well, it's the truth. What I said is the truth. Yeah, well, there's a lot of truths you don't need to say about people. Just
there's,
keep it yourself.
There's consistency with using the faculty. You're not perverting the natural goal, end, or telos of the faculty.
Right.
But there is disharmony with prudential judgment there and respecting the character of the other individual. So it's an injustice to the person.
All right. I think we'll go, for question number seven, we'll have you play for the same book, the Catholic.
I was going to ask if we could.
Okay. Then we can. Yes. The early church was the Catholic Church.
By Joe Heschmeyer.
And that comes out when? We don't know, but it's coming out soon. Yeah. All right. True or false? Oh, man, this is why do I word them this way? True or false? One is not morally required to always choose the highest good. True or false, Angel? One is not morally required to always choose the highest good.
One is not always morally required.
You want me to read it again?
It's false.
Oh. Okay. So the answer is false. That's what you said. He said false.
Yes.
Ah, that's a tricky one, man.
I know. That's funny because when you were saying it, you worded it better than I did. I was like,
it's tricky because one could think, well, the highest good is God, and I need to always be choosing God in whatever I do.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. See, but what the question was getting at, Angel, is we're not morally required to always choose objectively the highest good whenever we're comparing particular goods. Like, for example, the church teaches that celibacy, religious life, like, you know, giving up your life for the Lord in religious celibacy is objectively a higher good than even the good of marriage. But that doesn't mean everyone must choose that objectively speaking higher good, because God wills for some of us to choose the good of marriage, right?
Yeah.
You know, objectively speaking, praying is a greater good than eating ice cream, right? But if the Lord calls me to eat ice cream with all my kids after dinner, that's what I need to do. You know, it would be wrong for me to go off to my room and kneel down and pray when my kids are around the dinner table ready to have their dessert after the Broussard meal.
Yeah.
Right?
I have never in my life eaten ice cream without praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's all that goes through my mind.
Amen.
All right. So I see what he was doing there. I think
depends on how you interpret the question.
Right. And so
if you
he should get
the prize.
The formal
way, he got it right.
Yeah, because you always. Oh, look at that! The sound of you even got
Darren
your sound
has
effect.
Reversed it.
All right. Do I have a list anywhere that I can read to tell him everything that he's won? All right. You have won the following things: Purgatory is for Real from Carla Broussard, Light from Darkness from Steve Weidenkopf, Things the Saints Never Said. Yeah, he won that one. Things the Saints Never Said, yeah. From Trent Horn. Revolt Against Reality, the new book coming out from the great Gary Machuda. And The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, the new book coming out from our former friend and now colleague, Joe Heschmeyer.
But still friend.
You could say that if you want. All right. I think you did really well, Angel. How do you feel? Is he crying?
No, I'm so happy.
Oh, okay. I thought you might be, just gave up and went off to cry. You were so happy. All right. Thanks.
No, no.
Thanks, Angel.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, God bless you, brother. That was a lot
fun,
of fun.
Man.
Thanks to our other contestant, Alicia, who was an awfully good sport when she got some stinker questions from me. But she did okay. She left with some loot as well. And as always, thank you to Carlo Broussard, who makes these game shows so much fun. Carlo, I love working with you.
I love working with you, Si. Thanks for having me, brother. Appreciate the kind words.
That does it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.